The following program is brought to you by Chemotherapy.com. Your complete chemotherapy guide puts answers to your questions in one simple place. www.chemotherapy.com.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place. Chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way, the answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com, your complete chemotherapy guide.
For Discovery Health, I'm Will Johnson. On this week's Discovery Health podcast, we are talking to Dr. Debbie Saslow, Director of Breast and Gynecological Cancer at the American Cancer Society, about new guidelines for breast cancer screening. Dr. Saslow, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Tell us about the new guidelines. When were these released, and what are they based on?
The guidelines were released just a month ago in March, and I want to clarify that the guidelines are only for women at high risk of breast cancer, so they don't replace our existing guidelines for all women, which emphasize annual mammography starting at age 40.
Okay, and when you say high risk, talk about that for us.
Sure. Most women who get breast cancer don't have any risk factors, so we call those women at average risk. And average risk is still, you know, any woman can get breast cancer and risk increases with age. So the main risk factors are being female and aging. But there are some women at elevated risk, and the new guideline actually distinguishes between women at moderately increased risk and women at high risk.
And when was the previous? When were the previous guidelines put into place?
2003.
And so, in that time, 3 or 4 years, what have we learned in order to put these new guidelines in place?
Sure. In 2003, we had enough information about ultrasound and MRI to know that there were some benefit to screening women at high risk, which, as defined mostly by family history, but some other more or less common factors, that these women should talk to their doctor about both the benefits and the limitations of adding some other screening technology to getting mammograms and perhaps starting screening younger than age 40, because women at high risk are also at high risk of getting breast cancer at a younger age. But at that time, we didn't have a lot of evidence, and we didn't make, you know, absolute recommendations. We just wanted the information to get out there and the discussion to be happening. But over the last several years, there have actually been 6 screening trials looking at high-risk women. Almost all of those women had a family history of breast cancer, and screening them with MRI compared to mammography. Some of the studies also compared to ultrasound. And what those all 6 studies showed, that in these high-risk women, MRI was able to detect cancers about twice as often as mammography. So that's a huge benefit to women. The downside is that pretty much any screening test that increases the ability to find cancers also increases the findings, suspicious findings that turn out not to be cancer. And the only way often to rule these out for MRI is to do a biopsy. So what we recommend is that women at high risk, as defined by either a breast cancer gene mutation that was detected in relatives in that family, or the type of strong family history with multiple people in the family getting breast and or ovarian cancer, that these women were at particularly high risk, sufficient to recommend annual MRI in addition to annual mammograms. The women at moderately increased risk, these are women with perhaps a more limited family history that doesn't quite get into that high risk category, but still, you know, maybe 1 or 2 female relatives, possibly, you know, really borderline as far as, you know, not quite a strong family history. Also, women who've had a previous diagnosis with breast cancer, we know that they're at moderately increased risk for getting a second cancer, higher than women who've never had cancer. Also, women who've had suspicious findings on mammograms that indicate a higher risk but are not cancerous. These women in this moderately increased risk, for the most part, did not participate in the screening trials for MRI, so we don't have evidence that MRI would be helpful. But also, they're not quite at that high risk. And so, for them, we're saying, talk to your doctor. It really is going to depend on individual situations. You could have women with multiple factors that I just mentioned for moderate, you know, moderate increase, but together would put them in high risk. Or you could have some other individualized factors that would make a doctor and a woman decide together that MRI would be a good thing or would not be a good thing.
Now, let me ask, a lot of women are certainly familiar with the process of a mammography, but MRI might be a little more alien to them and a little more scary, too. Can you talk about the process and what they would expect?
Sure. MRI, it takes longer than a mammogram. It's not painful, although it does require injection of what we call a contrast agent. And so prior to the procedure, there's an IV that's done. And then the woman actually lays on a table with her breasts sort of through a hole in the table. It hangs down below the surface. She's sort of pushed into a large MRI machine, which is not itself scary or painful, but it can be noisy and it can be claustrophobic. So she's often given either headphones or earplugs, and she needs to remain still for approximately 15 minutes. And then there's a second procedure done, another injection, another MRI, and then they are able to look at the results, and it's sort of a 3D result rather than the mammography, which is two-dimensional. So, you know, it's certainly different than a mammogram. There are some things women might find more comfortable and less comfortable depending on the woman.
But in general, do you see this as a great leap forward in terms of what we're able to tell women and how the kind of effect it might have on women who are actually at risk, high risk for breast cancer?
It's a great leap forward for a very small number of women. There aren't that many women who fall into this high-risk category, but for those who do, this is very important because often women who have a family history of breast cancer go through life expecting to get breast cancer, in fear of getting breast cancer, and if their family history includes premature deaths from breast cancer, that just adds to the anxiety that these women live with almost on a daily basis. And so to double or more the chance of finding cancer early and therefore being very likely to treat it successfully is a big leap forward.
Okay, Dr. Debbie Sauslaw, Director of Breast and Gynecological Cancer at the American Cancer Society. Thanks very much for talking to us.
You're very welcome.
And for Discovery Health, I'm Will Johnson.